Well, happy Friday, church. I know that we're usually together on this particular Friday, and it's with some sadness that I preach to you today, but I hope and pray that this word would encourage you, that this word would direct you in a sobering way to contemplate the cross, and in contemplating the cross, cause you to love the Savior more deeply, to worship Him more fervently. You know, as I thought about the cross of our Lord Jesus and the word to give you for this Good Friday, what came to mind were two encounters that Jesus had during His ministry. Throughout the gospel narratives, Jesus had many encounters in which He healed various people. And the two that I want to draw your attention to is the leper who came to Jesus asking Jesus to make him clean, and the bleeding woman of 12 years who touched the edge of the Lord's garment. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and that to chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I'll be reading from verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he, Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 8, a few chapters over, to Luke chapter 8, verse 42. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Join me in prayer as we lift our time together before God. Father in heaven, as we gather around your word, would you draw us to the cross so that there we would see and be reminded afresh of the great love with which you loved us by sending your Son draped in our humanity, in our frailty, to suffer and die for sinners such as ourselves. As we often sing, cause our faith to rise and cause our eyes to see your majestic love and your good and sovereign authority. Receive the inner worship of our hearts as we hear the preaching of Christ crucified. In our homes we pray. Amen. Church, you'll notice that in the two encounters we just read, that Jesus was approached by individuals who were plagued by severe illness and disease. The first that we read in Luke chapter 5 had a skin condition called leprosy. And in the Bible, all abnormal skin conditions were classified under the general heading of leprosy. Now, because of the outer nature of the condition, this was a disease that was evident for all to see. And so it was one that brought much shame and embarrassment. And to add to that, a leper was forced to walk around in tattered clothes and to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that all would avoid him lest they catch the contagion themselves. But if you really think about it, those opportunities were actually not that frequent, because a leper lived not in the community, but rather outside the community. A leper had to leave home and family, spouse and children, work and pleasure. It was essentially a quarantine away from those whom he knew and loved. He lived in isolation and solitude. Now, leprosy was, again, a general term for various skin conditions, and that to varying degrees. And so while some might have suffered of being away for a short period of time as their condition got better, for others, this may have not been the case. Here, Luke gives us a detail not found in any of the other gospel accounts. You see, Luke himself was a physician, which meant he knew very well of the varying degrees of leprosy. And he tells us in chapter 5, verse 12, that this wasn't just a man with a mild case of leprosy, but a man full of leprosy. It wasn't just a minor condition that got better and healed over time, but a condition that was incurable and severe, which meant this man spent the whole of his life away from society, away from interaction. We are very aware of what it means to socially distance ourselves. Not a day goes by without a church member telling me how much they miss church, the church family, and how they can't wait for the church to resume. When all this began, I remember hearing some folks talk about how this was an introvert's dream. But even this is taking a great toll on introverts such as myself. But imagine spending the entirety of your life in solitude and isolation, banished from the people you know and love. Now, why such a cruel existence? It's because the law deemed him to be unclean. And this doesn't mean that his leprosy was a result of some kind of sin. We don't know that. But cleanness was the measure God placed upon his people in their everyday life to teach them about holiness, his purity, his perfection. And so according to the law, this leper was unclean. Well, the same held true for the woman we find in Luke chapter 8. She too was deemed unclean. The law was clear that bloody discharges rendered a woman this way. And for women, this discharge usually lasted about a week, possibly more. But I want you to notice in Luke chapter 8 that this woman bled not for just a week or even two, but that she bled for 12 years. This woman's body was not right. Something was internally not right. She had a condition that was rare, and it was chronic. The bleeding never stopped. And Luke, you'll notice, again, gives us insight from a doctor's perspective, and he says in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, that she spent all her living on physicians, but to no avail. This woman could not be healed by anyone. Not even the best doctors knew what to do with her. So imagine what it was like to be this woman and to be in her miserable condition, not knowing what was going on in her, the anxiety and concern over her health. Just like the leper, there was shame and embarrassment. And for her, because her garments would have always been stained with blood. Now notice that detail that Luke gives us, that she had spent all her money, that tells us something about her, that her bleeding had reduced her to become possibly a beggar. She had used up all her resources, all her living, all her money in trying to find any kind of help, any kind of cure. Now you'll notice, if you look back in Luke chapter 7, that Jesus heals the centurion's servant. And then he raises a widow's son. And in Luke chapter 8, this encounter with the woman takes place in the middle of Jesus bringing Jairus' daughter back to life. In other words, you'll see that all these sick individuals had another person coming to Jesus on their behalf. The servant had a centurion. The son had his mother. This daughter had her father, who was a ruler. They all had someone petitioning for them. And so notice with this bleeding woman, no one came to Jesus saying, "Lord, come quickly, my mother is ill," or "You need to come, my wife is bleeding," or "Jesus, please heal my sick friend." But how do we find her? We find her alone, don't we? We find her by herself. You see, having this bleeding discharge for 12 years, she too lived in solitude and isolation away from the people. It's because what plagued her most was like that of the leper. She was unclean. You see, in these two encounters, we find a leper and a woman with an untreatable illness. In the eyes of the law, they were doomed as they were unclean, unfit, unholy, and unable to enter into the presence of God. And so for years, they felt the separation, the loneliness, the despair. Well, what happens to these two? Jesus heals them. The leper comes to Jesus, begging him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And he comes to Jesus, it says in chapter 5, verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the cities. And it could possibly be that this man broke the law, disregarded his orders to self-quarantine, entered into the city gates because he knew there was only one person who could make him clean. But notice, for the woman, it was a very different approach. While Jesus was on his way to heal the ruler's daughter, the bleeding woman made her way, weaving through the crowds, trying her best to follow Jesus, to come up behind him and to touch the fringe of his garment. But whether by touching his garment discreetly or by begging, we find that both the leper and the woman, they were healed, that Jesus had mercy on them. Now, I wanted to bring forward these two encounters to ask this question. What do we learn in examining these two stories? What are we to make of these healing encounters? Was Jesus simply just a miracle worker? We can even take into account all the healings of Jesus and ask, why did the gospel writers tell us this? What was it all for? Well, turn in your Bibles with me now to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You'll find Jesus' encounter with the leper there at the beginning of the chapter, here in Matthew chapter 8. And you'll find, following that healing, other acts of healing in the chapter. But Matthew summarizes all of the healing miracles of Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, when he says this: "That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." But notice what Matthew says next, chapter 8, verse 17. "This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." Matthew quotes from Isaiah and from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Church, it's very often that we turn our attention to Isaiah chapter 53, especially on Good Friday. Now, why is that? It's because Isaiah chapter 53 teaches us possibly more than any other place in Scripture about the cross. What took place at the cross, how the appearance of Jesus was marred beyond human recognition, how he was oppressed and afflicted, how he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. But Isaiah 53 not only teaches us what took place at the cross, but what the cross meant for sinners. It tells us the implications of the cross. It tells us the meaning of the cross. And this is what Matthew wants us to see. How does Matthew connect the healing ministry of Jesus with the cross? It's because he's telling us that the leper, the hemorrhaging woman, the blind beggar, the lame servant, the unclean, he's telling us that they serve to be a mirror of the human condition. That spiritually men and women are filled with sickness and disease. It is untreatable. It is incurable. This is the condition we are in. We are plagued with sin. Like the leper, it's not that we have a mild condition of sin, but we are full of sin. It has invaded us through and through to the extent that it is our very nature. But here is the most devastating effect of sin. It has spiritually distanced ourselves from our Creator and God. And if left untreated, we will suffer a death that incurs the judgment and wrath of a holy God. If left untreated, we will spend an eternity away from the love of the living God under his burning and searching judgment. But notice again what Matthew says by quoting Isaiah chapter 53. He says that he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Do you know what he's saying here? That Jesus went to the cross, trading places with the sick. That Jesus went to the cross, trading places with sinners. You see, this is the picture of what the gospel writers want us to see. That Jesus took upon himself the very sickness of those whom he had healed. That Jesus, to make the unclean clean, became himself unclean. That he, who knew no sin, for our sake was made sin. That God substituted the just for the unjust. The principle here is that for something dirty to become clean, something must become dirty. Have you ever tried to clean a barbecue grill? If you ever tried to clean a barbecue grill, you'll notice that whatever you're cleaning the barbecue grill with, that thing has become so dirty, you must throw it away. Jesus became dirty. Jesus was made sin. And bearing the illness and the disease of sin, Jesus went to the cross. And there he suffered and died, receiving the very wrath of God for sin in the place, trading places with sinners. Listen to Isaiah 53 again. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has laid on him all our iniquity. It's Jesus trading places with sinners. It's Jesus substituting himself with sinners, and that to atone for their sins. This is what Matthew wants to tell us when he says that Jesus took our illness and bore our disease. He wants to tell us that Jesus traded places. And you see, this is our fundamental need. We need Jesus Christ to take our place. We have the disease of sin. And money will not absolve it. Medicine will do us no good. Therapy won't treat it. You can donate all that you have to the poor. You can be an advocate for every humanitarian effort. It will not work. Like the bleeding woman, we are bankrupt of any solution in and of ourselves. We must be healed. We must be made clean. We must be forgiven of our sins. We must be reconciled to God. And Jesus Christ, you see, is the only remedy to our condition. And what you need to know is this, that he's willing. Like the leper said himself, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." You see, he's willing. So you who are in need of saving, I say this to you. Come to Jesus and ask. He is willing. Ask him to make you clean, and he'll do it. Repent of your sins and place your trust in Jesus Christ to receive his cleansing, to receive the forgiveness of your sins. John chapter 1, verse 19 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Is this what you need? As you hear this word, have you come to the end of yourself, finding no cure for sins? Then come to Jesus today. Jesus lived and died, and that on the cross, to trade places with sinners like me and you. So come to him, that he might do just that for you. You know, what I can't help notice is that when the bleeding woman, who had exhausted all her resources, when she came up behind Jesus, she believed that she would be healed. "If I could but touch his garment, my sickness will go away." This is what she thought. And when she did, what do the gospel accounts tell us? That the discharge of her blood immediately dried up. That she was healed. But that the discharge of her blood immediately dried up. But for this woman to be healed, Jesus had to trade places with her, didn't he? You see, the gospel is this, that for the blood of this woman to stop, the blood of Jesus had to flow. Isn't that what happened on the cross? That there on the cross was a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I've asked our brother Minjay, who's here with me, to lead us in singing that song, which I thought would be appropriate on this Good Friday. And after we sing together, I'll close us in prayer.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ, our Savior, for standing in our place, for dying in our place, for vile, wretched sinners such as ourselves, and that to make us clean, to wash all our sins away. In contemplating the cross, we are humbled and we are broken. As we consider our lives in this present state, that we are not what we should be, that we are not what we want to be. Help us to be faithful, to live lives worthy of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. In the name of Christ, our perfect sacrifice and substitute, we pray. Amen.